we had a, I interrupted myself as far as the series we've been engaged in for the past several weeks, looking at some of the temptations that are challenging to mankind, and that starts particularly in youth. And one of those subjects that we spent some lessons on was looking at the consumption of alcohol. Related to that are a lot of other substances that we can take into our bodies that would be not doing what is proper in that regard, in terms of being a good and faithful steward over what the Lord has given us, that can have adverse effects on our health and destroy this body that the Lord has made us stewards over while we're on this earth. And so we looked at a lot of scriptures last time we were in that engaged in this study of that principle, and whatever that be, whether it's alcohol, tobacco, or lots of other drugs and things that we could take into our bodies and or do to ourselves that could be harmful to ourselves, and we don't want to do any of those things. So we want to continue with that study. Last week we had a study about the disciple that Jesus loved, John the Apostle. So we took a week to spend on a different topic than this overall topic that we're looking at. But now we're getting back to our previous study, and we want to start this morning looking at another issue that we need to be very aware of and make sure that we are not falling, becoming guilty of, and that is the sin of tempting the Lord. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 17 and look at verses 1 and 2. Because when we use alcohol, if we use tobacco, if we use, and we can start naming things like marijuana, cocaine, heroin, opiates, and things that are not for medicinal purposes, methamphetamine, and the list is, well, it's growing longer and longer. I mean, there's all those medications like ecstasy, bath salts, and we could go into all kinds of things that people get involved in. Some of them you probably never heard of, and there are lots of them that I've never heard of, and I keep learning new ones that people are coming up with. And but whatever it is, doing something that is that we know can be dangerous to our health or destroy our health, the body that we are responsible for using in the Lord's service, and to be doing something that would be using what should belong to God for His service in an unholy manner, we must avoid that. And we've studied that particular point. But if we are doing something that has the potential for having the Lord then to shorten our time on this earth, or to remove us from this earth because of our whatever the activity is, the description of that, or the definition of that, is tempting the Lord. We can tempt the Lord to take our lives, to remove us from this world by our own actions. And tempting the Lord is a sin. Now, in Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, is for the first time we read about this in those words. But here he says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin." Now, that was a aptly named wilderness as it pertains to what they were doing here. It doesn't mean that it was the wilderness of transgression, although it became that. That's what they were, this is what they were doing while they were journeying from that wilderness of sin. It says, "After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?'" Why do you tempt the Lord? They were. Now, when they were complaining about their circumstances, in what way was that tempting the Lord? Well, the Lord referred to this later on when we go to the book of Numbers and see what the Israelites ultimately did as they continued to persist in this particular sin. Ultimately, the Lord determined that he was not going to allow them to enter into that land of Canaan. And that decision was made finally when they sent the spies into the land in Numbers chapter 13. And then they came and 10 of the spies came back with an evil report on the land and caused all the congregation to murmur against the Lord at that time. And so the Lord determined he was not going to allow them to enter into the land of Canaan. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 22, he says, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it." And he removed them from the earth. Many of them he removed well before what would have been their so-called natural time. He removed them early through plagues and punishments for these sins that they had committed. So they were tempting the Lord to shorten their lives, to remove them from this earth, to take these actions against them when they were complaining against God. That was a form of tempting God to do something to them because of it. So if our actions are provoking the Lord to take action against us in some way, then in that manner we're tempting him. So we should not and we must not tempt the Lord in any way. And of course then that commandment was given as part of the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16. He told them plainly not to do that if they hadn't already had enough information about how evil that was from those things that did happen to them. But Deuteronomy 6 verse 16 says, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah." So he told them, don't do that. Well, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, this was after he was baptized in Jordan by John the Baptist to fulfill all righteousness as God had given the commandment for everyone to be immersed in water. Even though Jesus had no transgressions to be forgiven, he was still subject to his Father's commandment to be baptized. That righteousness had to be fulfilled. He had to do what was right there. And so he did, and after his baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and we know that's when he received the power to do miracles. It was only after that, shortly after that, when he returned from this wilderness, that he did miracles. And one of the temptations, the first one that's recorded in Matthew chapter 4, was for him to misuse that new power that his Father had given him to do miracles through the Holy Spirit. The devil tempted him to turn the stones to bread, which he would not do. Because there was no way that God was going to be bearing witness to him so that others would know he was speaking God's word and had been sent by the Father when there was nobody around him to see that miracle that would have been done in turning stones to bread. It would have only been to satisfy his own hunger, which would have been a misuse of that power, and he wouldn't do that. Well, as part of those temptations then, the next one, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Then the devil taking them up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." So there's the devil quoting scripture, a prophecy about Christ, and the Lord's protection of Christ using the angels to do so. And the Father did protect Jesus from how many things? If it was not going to be fulfilling the Father's will for his Son, was he going to allow men to do, the devil through men, to do whatever he wanted with his Son while he was here? No way. He used his angels, he used all of those means to watch over, to protect his Son from anything that was not going to be fulfilling his purposes for his Son to be here. Now, did that mean or did that give license to Christ then to fulfill that prophecy by hurling himself off the pinnacle of the temple? No, that would have not been the way in which the Lord intended to provide that protection for his son. Jump off the top of this high building and those angels will catch you so you won't splat on the ground down there. Was that going to be something proper for him to do? Well, since God promised he would have his angels protect him, he could do that? No. And Jesus knew better. And so Jesus said in verse 7, says, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he quoted Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16 there. He recognized that would be tempting the Father to take his life. You jump off a high building, what's liable to happen when you hit the ground? I mean, you're liable to die or maim yourself or do something where it's going to be, how useful are you going to be to the Lord if you do something to yourself that's going to paralyze yourself or whatever it is? I mean, it's tempting the Lord to take some action there. I mean, if we leave here and go down there to the interstate, either that way or this way, and just jump out in front of a big truck when it's coming. And say, well, I believe God's going to watch over and protect me. I mean, is that an okay thing to do? Or would that be tempting the Lord? Would that be tempting the Lord to take us right out of here that way, right then and there? That would be tempting him to do so. And there are a lot of people that attempt suicide in some way, and they succeed. I mean, you put a gun to your head and pull the trigger, are you tempting the Lord to take your life? I mean, that's the intention that a lot of the people have when they do that. Many of them, of course, succeed. Are there any that the Lord, though they tempt the Lord decides not to take their life, even when they do something like that? For his reasons, there's some he spares anyway. But still, is tempting the Lord wrong or is it wrong? Is it wrong or not? It's a sin to do that. Now, that it may be easier for us to recognize or appreciate from a more direct standpoint. I mean, you shoot yourself or you jump off a high building or if you step out in front of traffic or a train or whatever. I mean, we recognize that's something real immediate. That's tempting the Lord. But what about when we know that when we're consuming some substance or engaging in some activity, when we know that that activity is potentially damaging to our bodies and could kill us? And if we engage in that, are we tempting the Lord? All right, well, let's just, I know we've talked about alcohol a lot. Let's get into this a little bit more. In some of these substances, we're going to get somewhat medical here for a bit, which we need to be aware of these things. I mean, it should be very apparent to any of us to jump off a high building. Why Jesus didn't jump off the pinnacle of the temple. That was a very high place. And he would have been tempting the Lord to take his life by doing that. He wouldn't do it because God says, don't do that. Well, do we have knowledge of the use of alcohol, tobacco, and some of these others that we're going to mention specifically? Are we aware of the things that those substances do to our bodies and see how that is tempting to the Lord? That itself is a reason why not to do it. That is yet another reason why engaging in those activities would be a sin. One of the sins is it tempts the Lord. We've already mentioned, the Lord says, be not drunk with wine. He tells us not to do something that's going to impair our thinking, which is what alcohol does. But how many other substances do that? Anything that's going to have that effects on our have the effects on our mind like these things do, that's a reason why it's a sin. God says don't do that. But God says also don't tempt him. And so we must not do that. If we do, we're committing a sin by tempting him. Alcohol, for example. What kinds of things? I mean, the immediate effect of alcohol is drunkenness. How much alcohol does it take to affect the brain? Really, any amount is going to have some effect, even if we don't recognize it or feel that. Alcohol is toxic to brain tissue. The brain cells are called neurons. That's the type of cell that they are. They're different than a lot of the other cells in the body. Skin, for example. We have constant turnover with skin cells. We're not quite like snakes. We don't shed the whole thing at once, but we're shedding a little at a time all the time. Sometimes we can recognize that because if it's in your scalp, we call it dandruff. But what happens is skin cells have a very short lifespan, and we get new skin cells. So we're constantly shedding the old ones, even if we can't see it or we're aware of that. There are a lot of the cells in our body, most of them, in fact, they divide and change, and so we're replacing them over time. Not so with brain cells. What the Lord gives us when we start here, that's all we get. And any substance that we take take into our bodies that alters our sensation, those things are having the effect of, the reason we feel different is because it's having an effect on our brain cells, the neurons. And alcohol is very toxic to neurons. It kills them. So those are cells, they're suffering death, and we don't get those back. So every time somebody's drinking alcohol, to whatever extent, they're killing some brain cells. Well, I don't know what you feel about yourself, but I feel like I need every one the Lord gave me and to function maximally. I don't need to be taking any of them out. But again, that's part of tempting the Lord. Here he's made this to be used for him, and I'm going to tell him, all right, I'm going to take this just for physical pleasure's sake, and I'm going to kill off some of what you gave me just so I feel good. Does that sound like proper thinking? There's something very wrong with that thinking. Of course, it's tempting the Lord then, because if we're taking what he's given us and then we're doing that, well, we're with alcohol, it's killing brain cells. So does cannabis, also known as marijuana, THC. That's marijuana. It kills brain cells. And so do the every other kind of illicit substance that has effects on the brain. So that's one of the big problems with it. Now, with alcohol, there are long-term effects on the brain as more and more of those cells die. And I could easily spend the next hour just talking about the physical or health effects of alcohol. A big part of that's on the brain. You know, a lot of times we think about the liver, and alcohol will destroy the liver. It will also it will destroy the heart. There are conditions that occur in the heart from the use of alcohol, but the brain as well. I take care of alcoholics all the time, and when they come into the hospital with effects from that, they can't walk straight. They lose their balance because of the effects, the toxic effects on their brain, and they have memory problems. They have all kinds of issues with that, as well as their liver, their pancreas, heart. I mean, on and on it goes. It makes one's more susceptible. Alcohol it's consumed as a beverage, and using that, swallowing alcohol, it's toxic to the tissues in the esophagus, that tube that goes from our mouth down to our stomachs. It increases the risk for esophageal cancer. If you're drinking alcohol, you're tempting the Lord to give you cancer in your esophagus. You're tempting him to take away your vital organs, your liver, your brain, your pancreas, and we could go on and on with that, but it's tempting the Lord in all those ways. It's destroying, it's having those destructive effects on our bodies, and we're tempting the Lord to shorten our lives that way. I mean, the lifespan of an alcoholic is a lot shorter for a reason. Now, does everybody who drinks become an alcoholic? Not necessarily. And not everybody who does, but there's some that have that have more of a tendency in that direction. Now, how many? If nobody ever drinks alcohol, how many alcoholics are there going to be? Zero. Now, how do we know if we're one of those people that are going to have a tendency for that? That one person over there, they may drink some and then stop it, and they can put that away without a lot of difficulty when they recognize that that's something wrong to do. But we may be that one that when we get started, we get addicted real fast and very strongly, and then that's becomes a battle for the rest of our lives, and that we may lose. A lot of people do. How do we know if we're one of those? Well, we can drink and tempt the Lord and find out. And if we're one of those, what happens? Well, we know what happens as a result. What about smoking or using tobacco, and not just smoking it, but it can be chewed, dipped, whatever the way in which tobacco is used. Does smoking have health effects? Well, you can read it on the label of every pack or carton, can't you? What do we all know? People who smoke, what do they end up with a lot of times? Lung cancer. But it's not just that. I mean, emphysema, you heard of that, what we call COPD. I'm getting all the terms there, but it damages lungs, and whether or not it causes cancer. Now, there's some people can smoke 3 or 4 packs a day and never get lung cancer. Some that happens too. Some smoke and they may not have the degree of the effects that are on others. They're the exceptions, though. People that smoke for any amount, I mean, it starts doing damage right there from the beginning. Are we tempting, if we're smoking cigarettes, are we tempting the Lord to give us something like that that can take us off this earth? I've had patients that have had lung cancer that smoked for a brief period of time decades ago. They might have smoked for a couple of years when they were younger, when they were in the military. A lot of these veterans, they're in their military service, they're around all the guys they smoke while they're in. And I've had some of them that did that just for a couple of years while they were in the service, then they quit it. And then decades later, they got lung cancer. How much smoking does it take to do enough damage where that can happen later on down the line? It doesn't take much. So smoking, how much do you have to smoke to be tempting the Lord to do something like that? We shouldn't do it. Lung cancer is one, esophageal cancer, bladder cancer, lots of cancers that are associated with cigarette smoking, and other diseases, heart disease. We call it peripheral vascular disease. You see a lot of these guys, they don't have their legs anymore. They kill their circulation from nicotine. Heart attacks. Smokeless tobacco. I mean, people that dip or chew it, they get head and neck cancers. Tongue, throat, that happens. And so it's not saying, well, I won't smoke it, but I'll still use it. That's tempting the Lord to do something like that. Smoking marijuana, we'll move on to that. That has toxic effects on the lung. People think, well, smoking marijuana, that's not really such a big deal. It is a big deal. There are carcinogens, cancer-causing chemicals in marijuana smoke too. There are many of the same toxins that are in tobacco smoke are also found in marijuana smoke. In fact, there have been studies, one marijuana joint has the equivalent of damage on the lung as about 5 cigarettes. So in that regard, a marijuana cigarette or joint is actually more toxic to the lungs than one cigarette is. So marijuana, smoking marijuana is doing damage to the lungs, it does damage to the brain, and we've now known from studies there's long-term issues with memory and learning, controlling impulses, and it's also known as a gateway drug because it does alter the brain's chemistry and the reward system, and it tends to make those who use marijuana, the effects from that, make somebody susceptible to using other substances and become addicted to those. So it's not, even though a lot of the laws, and there's another reason, Romans 13 verses 1-7, are we supposed to be subject to the laws of the land? Obey the laws? As a Christian, that's part of what we must do. There are laws against these things. If a Christian is doing that, well, here in South Carolina still, that's breaking the law. If you smoke a marijuana, it's against the law. So what's one of the ways that states and even the federal government is considering this now, but what's one of the ways to get around that problem? Well, just make it where it's not against the law anymore. Make it where that's not illegal. Well, if it becomes legal, is everything that's legal okay? You know, the country had prohibition back in the 20s for a time. For against alcohol, that was part of became part of the Constitution. Then they passed another amendment to rescind that one. But there was a period of time, at least, when the country recognized that drinking alcohol was so dangerous and harmful that it was banned for the whole nation in the Constitution. Well, they got around that. They undid that. But what does that still say? Does the world recognize or know that there's a problem with that, drinking alcohol? Well, certainly. And that has been recognized, of course, to be true also of smoking marijuana. And it has effects, too, even when people use it in the non-smoking form. That wouldn't be so much on the lungs then, but it would be on the brain. How many of you think your memory is so good and your ability to learn is so good that you can sacrifice some of that for smoking marijuana and whatever that good that makes you feel? Again, do we need all the brain cells the Lord gave us, and do we need them functioning at maximum capacity to be able to do? I mean, really, when we're if we're impairing our learning or memory, what's that going to do with us of learning God's will? How are we going to learn? How are we going to see good if we can't learn the good, or we can't remember the good because we've messed our brains up from using all these things? I mean, that should tell us right there. We're tempting the Lord to do something to us, and we're certainly hindering ourselves from being able to serve Him fully. We don't need to be doing anything that's going to damage anything that the Lord's given us. We need to use all of that for Him and for His purposes. There's very strong health reasons why we should not use alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, cocaine. I mean, that's one that some people, one use and you can die. I mean, just that can happen. It acts directly on the heart and on the brain. I mean, there are people that have heart attacks immediately, even younger people. It directly affects the heart, but it can have a toxic effect there and bring someone to death. Just using cocaine, whether it's shooting it, smoking it, whatever, that's tempting the Lord to take you out right then and there on the spot. He might not do it, but then it has lots of long-term health effects. And we have in the medical world, we have what we call crack brain, crack lungs, crack heart. People that use that smoke crack cocaine, they have tremendous damage that they do to vital organs of their body, and they don't live a long life. They really don't. And it's tempting the Lord in all those things. Heroin and other opiates, methamphetamine, which also destroys memory and does damage to the brain and makes one prone to violence. And all those substances are addictive, whether it's alcohol, marijuana, tobacco, cocaine, opiates, methamphetamine. Those are all addictive substances, which is another problem with it. Using it, and again, we talked about that with an alcoholic, but it's true of all these other substances. You use those things, you can become addicted to them, which means it alters the brain chemistry in a way you become dependent on that. And then there's a drive to take more of it. And most of those substances, to get the same effect, you have to take more and more of that. How are we going to serve the Lord when we're addicted to some chemical? Then our life becomes centered. You remember a few years ago, we had all the copper stolen out of our unit back there behind the building. What was that about? Well, you have people going around robbing copper and stuff like that from all over the place so they can sell that, so they can get a little bit of money, so they can buy drugs with it. People that are addicted to those substances, they'll find it anywhere and everywhere they can. When you're addicted, you're driven to find it. How are you going to function in a job? How are you not going to have effects on what are you doing with your money when somebody's addicted? What are they spending their money on? Are we supposed to be a good and faithful steward over the money the Lord puts into our hands? And if we're spending all that on whatever these substances are that we're addicted to, is that serving the Lord, or is that misusing what the Lord has given to us? And those things, addiction has so many problems that go along with it other than just waste of money. What's the second great commandment in the law? To love your neighbor as yourself. If we're destroying our health, becoming addicted to substances and doing things, it's tempting the Lord ourselves, which is wrong. But what kinds of effects does that have on others? Are there effects on other people if if we're doing things where we destroy our own health, or if we tempt the Lord and he takes us out of this world, is that going to have an adverse effect on others? Or if we're still here, but we're debilitated, or if we're addicted and to whatever the thing is, and is that going to affect others? Well, we can. It certainly is if we're going out and stealing stuff from other people. And it certainly is on our families. And well, there are other direct things. I mean, we've heard of people getting damaged by secondhand cigarette smoke, for example. You smoke around other people, they're not smoking, but they're smoking along with you. If somebody is, if they're around that, that's gonna affect their health too. But more so, or even maybe a little less obvious than that, we know the effects. Somebody who's got substance addictions, whatever it is to, their families suffer a great deal from that. It's very difficult on the spouses, on the children. It leads to many other sins. It leads to, which also, of course, is wrong. We're not to give place to the devil. And if we're loving our neighbor as ourselves, in Romans chapter 13, he tells us what loving our neighbor is going to do. This second greatest commandment in the law, as Jesus described it in Matthew 22, 35 through 40. And on the two great commandments, to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, the Lord said. Well, Romans 13, 8 through 10 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Are we going to be working ill to someone if we are addicted to something, some substance? It's going to work ill to people. It's going to affect them. Look at those sins that he mentions. These 10 parts of the Ten Commandments that he brings over right here and repeats here and makes part of the New Testament. Adultery and murder and stealing and lying and coveting. Every one of those things is going to be involved in substance abuse. How many murders that go on are in over selling drugs, people fighting over the territories where they're going to sell the drugs, and the stealing that comes from it, and all those kinds of things. There's thievery, there's murder, there's all of those other evil things, and using them makes one prone to commit many of those things, including fornication, adultery, and all of the murder, stealing, all of that. So it leads to so many other things that are evil. Those are temptations of the Lord and ways to harm others. So what is the good in any of those things? Going back to where we started this, our foundation principles that we were looking at is why we shouldn't do things like this. What should be the question that we ask? And this is kind of an exam going back to the beginning. Where did we start with this? Why shouldn't we be angry, for example, James 1, 19 and 20, which is actually the text that we're involved in our Wednesday night study right now. But he tells us to be slow to anger. In fact, tells us in Ephesians 6, 4 and verse 31 to put away all anger, even though it's not necessarily a sin. But he says in James 1, 20 that the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. As he also tells us in Hebrews 9, verse 14, that we should purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So the question to ask is, does this work God's righteousness? Does this serve the living God? Which of these things that we've mentioned here this morning, looked at all the problems with them, will help us to work God's righteousness and to serve him? None of them do. It does a lot of things that are the opposite of that, and tempts the Lord, and misuses what he's given to us in so many ways, and harms others, including ourselves. But none of those things work the Lord's righteousness and serve him. And that's the reason right there, the first reason why we shouldn't be involved in that. That will conclude this particular portion of our study in this series, but we have several other things. These aren't the only youthful desires or temptations. There's lots of other things that we need to explore and study about from the Word of God, which we intend to do in some future lessons. But this is an opportunity right now for anyone that's here this morning that is not yet a member of the body of Christ. This is an opportunity right now for you to come forward and repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins. This is also an opportunity for you, if you are a member of the Lord's body, to repent of sin if you need to, or if you need the prayers of the church, to come forward and make that known. So anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you do so right now while we stand together and sing.